you know, you're not, I know 95% of you or more, you're not pastors, you're not full-time, in full-time ministry, and so I hope this is not boring you. But, you know, I get very excited about this. But let me tell you one thing. Many of you are mothers and fathers, and you have kids, and you want them to be Christians, okay? You want them to follow Jesus. So what I'm saying works for parents, too. It really works for parents, okay? So now, let me go, as a pastor, but also as a father, as a grandfather, let me share, how do I know if I am preaching, teaching, using the law or the gospel to help people grow into becoming a healthy, mature Christian? How do I know? How do I know if I'm preaching law? I know there's some very, very clear red flags. If what I'm using is if I'm scolding to help people become a better Christian, that's law, and it's never going to work. If I am trying to motivate people by guilt, don't you feel guilty? That is law, and that's not going to make anybody a better Christian. If I try to make them feel ashamed, 你不觉得惭愧吗? You know, I've heard that in the old days in Taiwan. I heard that from the pulpit, from sermons, preachers. You know, aren't you ashamed, you know? As I mentioned before, how many times in the Bible does this Old Testament, New Testament, how many times does this statement occur? Whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. Okay. The other thing, if I am trying to use, I'm not sure how to say this in English, if I use gong li zhu yi, How do you say that in English? Huh? You know, it's sort of like if the more you do for God, the more He will do for you. You'd kind of, huh? What property? Merit. Okay, merit. Oh, yeah, but anyhow, but no, it's sort of an exchange of you do more for God and He will do more for you. And if you do less for God, He'll do. Some years ago, I was in a church and I taught this class, I think. Related to this class. And this poor pastor, he was so tired, he was burned out, and his family was a mess. His children were getting into trouble. His marriage was probably, and he said that the church where I came out of in Taiwan, the teaching was, you do everything for God and He will do everything for you. And and he said, I don't think that works. And so, yeah, that's law. So I'm going to talk about gong li zhu yi a little later before we quit. But let me just use a couple examples. If I try to make people be a better Christian by guilt and shame and threat, if I use threats to make people a better Christian, cold, huh? Yeah. You know, that doesn't work. Now, some people, in Taiwan in the early years, I ran into people who grew up in a church where it was just, everything was guilt and threat and shame. And one guy came up from the south. He was in our church, and he was in a small group in our church. So one time, I led this small group. I looked at a story in the gospel about Jesus. I was trying to just show people how wonderful and good Jesus is. You know? But what you say and what people hear are sometimes two different things. And I thought I was giving good news about Jesus, but somehow he was hearing. He'd heard this from the time he was a little kid until he grew up. And I don't know what he heard, but it wasn't what I was saying. And he finished we finished a small group, and he said, "Fumasu, you just don't understand. If you come to my company and work in my company, go to work one day in my company, you just don't. You can't do that. You can't live like that. You can't live that like that. Nobody can live like that." Like that Christians are supposed to live. And I wasn't telling him how to live. I was telling him how wonderful Jesus is. And he said, you come and work in my office one day and you'll know it just doesn't work. And I tried to explain to him. I was not telling him that. And after about 6 months, he just didn't show up at church anymore. And he did, and I went to visit him and he said, I just can't be a Christian anymore. It's just impossible. And that's so sad. And I think because from the time he was a little kid, this is what he heard. Okay, so the law kills people. It does not bring them to life. And the law it doesn't mean the law is canceled. The Ten Commandments are not canceled. But the law in the sense of using guilt, shame, threats, and gong li to eat will kill people. Eventually their Christian life will die. Okay, let me use another example here. Then we'll go on to I've tried to put these things in English because they happened in Chinese. one of my students at seminary said. Again, about halfway through this class, the first semester, and he said, I've discovered there's something that's not right in the church where I am interning. I'm interning in a congregation, and I realize now there's something really wrong in that church. And I said, what did he said? He said, look at the Joe Bao, look at the weekly bulletin. Look at the weekly bulletin. And on the first page, the pastor said something like this. Can I read this in Chinese and then we'll translate? He said, 弟兄姊妹, 信耶稣得永生, 对,可是不要忘记, 背后的,软弱的,跌倒的, 主就不喜欢, 如果我们不热心的服侍神, 我们就没办法讨他的喜欢. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. But don't forget. Yeah, I just hate this but. the gospel that has but, you know. But bui ding, you know. I just, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll have eternal life. But don't forget whoever falls back and is weak and stumbles, the Lord does not like that. And if we don't enthusiastically serve God, we can't please him. Okay, we can't. And then on page 3, 弟兄姊妹, 主若明天再来, 你敢见他的面吗? If the Lord comes back tomorrow, can you face him? Can you look him in the eye? Something like, you know, I just think it's all threatening and using guilt and shame and stuff to make people be better Christians. It doesn't work. Okay, now, let me use an example. So how do we help people become better Christians? How do we help people grow and become healthy, mature Christians who feel like following Jesus is just great. I love it. Every day it's better than the day before, and I get very excited about being a disciple of Jesus. Now, I said, some of you, most of you are not in full-time ministry, but most of you are mothers and fathers. Okay. This has to do with the kind of faith that we give our kids. Let me give an example. Let me give several examples. Let me start with, and this is more for preachers, but let me tell you anyhow. in John chapter 21. The disciples are in a boat and they see Jesus standing on the shore and they say, "It's the Lord." And they jump into the water. Peter jumps into the water. They all follow. And then Jesus makes breakfast for them. And then he takes Peter aside and said, "Peter, do you love me?" How would you preach on that? If you were a preacher, okay, I'm just imagine you were a preacher. How would you preach on that text? You know, I've heard sermons on that passage where Jesus takes Peter aside and he says, "Peter, ni dao di ai bai wo." You know, "wo jiao ni qu chuan fuyin, ni qu diao yi." You know, I "Peter, do you love me or not? I told you to go and preach the gospel to all nations, and you went fishing." And Peter felt so ashamed and so guilty. And then after that, he became a missionary. The point of that story is, okay, that is law, right? That's preaching law. You make you feel guilty, ashamed, you know. The point of that story, and maybe he did, but, you know, how would you preach this from the perspective of the good news, the gospel? You know, I should give you this as a final exam question. How would you preach this from the perspective of the good news? The first thing is, the problem wasn't that Peter went fishing and Jesus told him to preach the gospel and Peter went fishing and Peter was disobedient. That's not the problem at all. The issue is, and you know this, I know, the issue is Peter. The Peter, he thought, and here again you have to use the word "eway," and as there's no English word for that, so I'm sorry, but I just don't have an English word for that. But Peter thought he was totally washed out. He was totally finished. He was totally separated from Jesus. And there was no hope ever that he would ever be restored. Peter had heard Jesus say, Peter had heard these words from Jesus, "Whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before the Father." Whoever denies me before men, he's finished. He's finished. He has nothing to do with me anymore. Peter heard Jesus say this. And then Peter denied Jesus three times. What was Peter feeling? He got up on the shore. First he was excited. "It's the Lord." He jumped into the water. He got up on the shore. And then he realized, "That's not for me anymore. I'm finished. That's nothing to do with me anymore." And I imagine, in my imagination, you know, the other disciples were eating some of the breakfast that Jesus, Peter just was not eating. I imagine he kind of stood off to one side. He didn't eat. He didn't say anything. Total silence. He thought, I heard Jesus say this. I don't have any excuse. I don't have anything to say. I'm just finished. I'm just washed up. I'll never be a disciple again. I'm out of the kingdom. I'm out of Jesus' life. He'll never say a word to me. He'll never say that he knows me anymore." And then Jesus comes over and says, Peter, need some mala, ni butsu donsi. Peter, what's the matter? You're not eating. And then Jesus takes him aside and said, Peter, would you like to say that you love me? And I think Peter, he must have just almost fainted. Because he thought, if there was any three words that I would wish I could say more than anything else in my whole life, I just wish I could say those three words. But I thought I would never, ever have the chance to say that again. I thought I would never have the right to say that. I'm totally disqualified. I'm totally washed out. I'm totally separated. And then Jesus said, you want to say you love me? Go ahead, you could say it. Is once enough? You want to say it a second time? Go ahead, say it a second time. Okay, is twice enough? You want to say it again? Say it three times. That's okay. You can say it as many times as you want. I think Peter just—he must have just almost fainted because he thought this is impossible. You see, but the way I've heard this, sometimes I've heard people preach on this, and you know, Peter, 你到底爱不爱我? 你记得你不认我几次吗? 那你现在你不认我三次，你要说三次你爱我? You remember? You denied me three times. Okay, you have to say you love me three times now. You know, one, two, three. You know, I just think, you know, that is the law. The law. Everything has to swan song down to the last penny. But that's not the point of this. The point of this story is Peter just could not imagine. Peter thought he was lost forever. He thought he was finished forever. And Jesus didn't even mention that Peter denied him. Did you notice that? He didn't even mention that. He said, that's okay. You want to say you love me? I want to hear that. I'm happy to hear that. And I believe it. And finally Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know that that's what I wanted to say. You know everything. You know that I love you. And that, so you understand the difference between law and gospel? Now, the law is, that's true. The law says, Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, I will deny him. He's not my disciple anymore. That's the law, and it's 100%. It's absolute. There's no light, no hope at the end of the tunnel. There's nothing. The law is the law, and then you... It is saizunidako, and there's nothing you could say. So the law is 100%. It kills you. But then Jesus comes, and he said, his attitude is, all authority on heaven and earth is given to me, and I am the Lord of the law. And if I say your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. So, and nobody can say I'm wrong. So, you know, the law is 100% absolute. The gospel is also 100% absolute. And if you can bring that out, your people, you know, the gospel 应该是叫人昏倒. It should make people think that's just impossible. It's impossible. That's true, but it's amazing. But once people get hold of this, then they just, you know, and then from then on, Peter's following Jesus was not, there was no question about it, right? So you know, if you can get hold of this, it's not first preaching the law is not scolding, condemning, but preaching, but teach. People understand the law. The law is pretty absolute. The law doesn't give you any hope. And the gospel gives you all hope. And they both have to be so absolute. The problem is so often in our interpretation of the Bible. The law is kind of, it's not all that bad, and the gospel is not all that good, and it's just kind of mushy and kind of, you know. I really think if there's a strong painting of the law and of the gospel. Okay, now that's one of my favorite examples. But let me give you another couple examples. And I will try not to cry as I talk about these now. But some people say, well, fools, if you just give them the gospel, then there's no requirement, no, there's nothing that, you know, gospel, so God loves you, your sins are forgiven, go home and eat dinner and go to sleep, you know, and just that's all there is to it. No, that's not true. Can we urge people to follow Jesus and to obey God's word and to want to be a good Christian and want to be obedient? Can we do that in our church, in our family, as parents? Can I do that? Okay, let me give just another. The question is, how do we do it? If we do it by making people feel guilty, making people feel ashamed, or I'll come back to go meet to eat in just a minute. But let me give an example. Can we? How would you explain to your kids the book in the book of Hebrews? There's one sentence. It's only one sentence, but I've seen that in some churches where it's just all over the place. 不可以停止聚会，像那些停止惯了的人. Oh my! Don't neglect the gathering together, as is the habit of some. Now, there's a couple problems with that. One problem is the Chinese translation. 不可以. As soon as you hear 不可以, you know, that's law. Okay. And that's not in the Greek. It's not in the Greek. It doesn't say 不可以. It just says not. Not. What is the, I don't remember the English, but not quitting coming to meeting. Okay. But that's true. It is what God says. We should not stop coming to meeting. We should come to Sunday morning worship. We should come to small group. We should gathering together. We should Christians to gather together. Is that law or gospel? Well, how do you teach it? How do you teach it? Well, you should teach it. We should teach it to our kids. We should teach it to our people in the church. We should teach it. Where is the Tri-Valley the youth pastor? Okay, yeah, you teach that to your kids, but how are you going to teach it? You know, if you say, well, if you don't come to church on Sunday morning, you better be careful. If you go out on a picnic and you're driving to the picnic, you might have a terrible accident, and your car will be totaled, and you might even get killed. That's law, threat. That's threat, you know. And what is a way of presenting it as gospel? Oh, you know, why should I want to come to church, to worship, to, you know, the way your worship was this morning? I can't imagine anybody that would not want to come to worship at Tree of Life. You know, the worship was so beautiful, you know, and you could just see Jesus. You could, you know, don't miss coming out. Don't miss coming to worship, because that's your date with Jesus Christ, and He wants to tell you how much He loves you. That's why you should come to worship, not because if you don't come, maybe God's going to get mad and make you have an accident in your car. You know, you follow me? The difference between using law and using gospel to help people obey God's word. You know, Jesus is waiting here on Sunday morning to tell you how much He loves you. Don't miss out. Okay. Can we encourage people to give money? Okay. To tithe. Okay. Suppose I'm in my church, I'm a pastor, and the church is not bringing enough money. So I'm going to preach a sermon on tithing, and I start off with, you know, brothers and sisters, I know one brother who last year he quit tithing, and his company went bankrupt. You know, 他的公司就倒闭了. Well, you know, that's law, threat, isn't it? Okay, now be careful also. Talk about going to leave. You know, okay, but I know another brother who not just gave a tithe, he gave 20%, and his company just started making money. That's dangerous too, isn't it? That's going to leave. No, why do you want to tithe? Because, why do you want to give money? Because God loves you so much, and you think it's your joy, it's your pleasure, it's your delight to use your money whatever you can. Paul, in the New Testament, Paul never talks about 10%. He just says, just everybody has to decide. But whatever you do, some people, you know, but it's your joy, it's your delight. If that's part of the rich, full, abundant life that God gives you, and you will like it. You will like it. 你会喜欢. If we can make people want to follow Jesus, because you know you're going to really like it. That's gospel. Okay, now, let me just raise, just give another couple of examples. A young woman came to me. As some of you know, I was a psychologist for many years in Taiwan. I did a lot of psychotherapy and counseling. And there was a young woman, not from our congregation, but she was a Christian. She was sent over by one of the psychiatric departments in one of the hospitals. And she was telling me how, it's very interesting. They originally diagnosed her with schizophrenia, schizophrenia itself. But I don't think she was ever schizophrenic. But she had, I think, Jingsen Beng Kui. She had a psychological breakdown, and she had already recovered. She'd gone back to school again. She was a university student. She'd gone back to school. She got very, very injured and hurt by a relationship with a boyfriend, and they split up, and so she was, but by the time she came to me, I don't think, I would not say I was doing psychotherapy. I was just helping her get a little rehabilitation. But she talked to me about when she was in the midst of this breakdown. She was saying, you know, how do you understand? Let's see. She said, when I was really at my worst, I said a lot of terrible things. I said things that hurt my mom and dad, my other family members, my friends, my schoolmates. I just said a lot of really, really bad things. And she said, she asked me, Fu Mosher, you know, the Bible says, Jesus says, you're going to have to be responsible for every word you say. Every word. 你讲的每一句话将来都会算账. Jesus said that, didn't he? Is that law or gospel? That's law. I mean, 你讲的每一句话将来都要算账. Okay, that's law. And that's true. Jesus said that. But you know, the final word is not law. The law tells you that you're a sinner. Okay. So that's true. You should, you know, that is the law, and that's absolute. So she said, how does Jesus, I'm trying to think in English now. How does Jesus look at those 2 years when I was, she said, Jing said, but I don't think it was schizophrenia. But how does Jesus look at those 2 years? Can I give her an answer to that? Or do I have to say, oh, I don't know, you know, yes, Jesus, you know, can I say, I can give you the answer to that? Yes, I can. I can say, your sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus says the law is every word you say, every word you say, you're gonna have to give an account for, and it's all gonna, but Jesus says, I am the Lord of the law. If I say your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. And I told her, your sins are forgiven. You know, if someone asks you, I told my students in seminary, if someone asks you a question like that, how does Jesus look at those 2 years? If you say, I don't know, then that's what I tell them, because there's many things I don't know. I don't have an answer, but I do know the law and the gospel. I can speak with great authority. And the law is 绝对叫你, and the gospel is 绝对叫你活, and they're both absolute. Okay, okay, you know, sometimes it helps to notice the grammar. You want to bring out the good news. Sometimes you have to work a little hard to find the good news in here. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you know, you're not gonna find the good news. And sometimes looking at the grammar will help you. There's one passage that I used one time in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I was back in Taiwan one time just for a couple of weeks. I was teaching a class at the seminary, and it was an intensive class, and I used this. I said, look at chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And I read it in Chinese, but here I'll read it in English. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness, or completing, it's really completing holiness in out of reverence for God. Okay, now, I said, look at the grammar of this sentence. Since we have, because we have these promises, let us, dear friends, purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, completing holiness out of reverence for God. And I said, you know, very often, if you're not careful, the way you interpret this, you say, if, brothers, you know, dear friends, if we purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, completing holiness out of reverence from God, then we will have these promises. You notice how easily that gets turned around? It's so tricky. And I said, look at the grammar. It says, since we already have these promises, okay, let's purify ourselves and complete holiness in the sight of God. And one student stayed after class and said, could you stay another couple of weeks and teach us some more about it? He said, I never saw that verse that way. He said, his parents were ministers in a church. Both his mother and father were ministers in the church. And he said, they, from the time I was, and so you who are parents, pay attention. From the time I was a little child, what they taught me was, if we purify ourselves and get rid of everything that contaminates body and spirit, complete holiness out of everything, then we can have these promises. And he said, I never noticed that grammar before. His parents, from the time he was, you know, if you do this, you know, you will have these promises. And he said, you know, I had talked about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I said, look at the grammar of the Beatitudes. They're not blessed because they're poor in spirit. They're not blessed because they're merciful. They're not blessed. They're blessed because the kingdom of God is there. they're happy because the kingdom of God is theirs. It's not, they're not blessed because they do all these good things. You look at that grammar, you know, it's, and this guy, he said, But it's really interesting. The Bible you read is different from the Bible I read. I said, no, it's exactly the same Bible. But you have to know how to, read it. And then when you know how to, your clues can be in the grammar, you see. And oh, he said, I never understood that. It was always, if I do this, then God will do that. God will love me. Okay, now, let me just say, I can talk till 5:30, right? But I want to finish a little early because I'm tired. But let me the most clear statement of law and gospel in the Bible is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God in Jesus Christ is eternal life. But the problem is, in the Chinese Bible, the most important word is left out in the Chinese translation. The wages of sin are death, but. There's no but in the Chinese Bible. And I guess, you know, why did they leave out that word? Because every word of the law, every statement of the law has to have a but afterwards. The wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And I tell my students in seminary, if you find a statement in the Bible that is law, if there is no but afterward, you can add a but yourself. I give you the authority, okay? Because Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, he didn't add a but he demonstrated it in his actions to Peter. There is a but after that. There's always a but after the law. But there is no but after the gospel. If your gospel is to be, believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your whole house, you have eternal life, God loves you, but bui ding. I just hate that bui ding gospel. Okay, now, so after the gospel, there's the but, the law always has a but. And if it's not there, you can add it. Because, you know, every word you say, you're going to have to give account for. But if I say your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. That's always there. But if I say, but Jesus says your sins are forgiven, there's no but. But after every message of the gospel, there is a therefore. Therefore, no buts, but therefore. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then, you know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Therefore, all these therefores come after the gospel. Now, so if we could, and again, I've seen some of your kids running around here, and I see some of the way you and your kids relate. They come up and hug you, and you know, it just makes me so happy. But I just keep doing that with your kids, okay? And you pastors keep doing this with your flock. Just keep using the gospel to make them feel like, oh, following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, loving Jesus is better than anything in life, and you're gonna enjoy it. It's gonna make you happy. Then you do it partly by just demonstrating. And it doesn't matter if you tell them, that I still love you. Okay, now let me. I just want to say a couple more things about Gong Li Zu Li. There's some people who do not use threats and scolding and guilt, making people feel guilty and ashamed. But they use gong easily. And let me just, you know, I've heard this teaching. The more you do for God, the more He'll do for you. And not necessarily in this life. This is not success theology. This is not prosperity gospel. This is, it's a matter of in heaven. After, you know, when you go to heaven, there's going to be reward. And some people, I mean, you want to have a reward, don't you? You know, if you go to heaven and, okay, if everybody else has a crown and you don't have a crown, you're just going to feel very embarrassed. You're going to feel very sad. You're going to feel very inferior, you know. Or if everybody else has a great big crown, but you have a tiny little crown, you're just going to feel like you're just going to, you know. Or you go to heaven, and everybody's going to live in a big mansion. Yesu. And you're going to live in a little taupo. you're going to live in a one room apartment with a bath. You know, okay. Now the question is, are there going to be rewards in heaven? Are there going to be rewards? Okay. You're right. Okay. But there's a question about how is it going to work? How are the rewards going to work? Okay. Jesus tells a parable. He talks about the sheep and the goats. And he said, and then he's going to say to the sheep, come into the kingdom, you beloved of my Father, because I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was sick and you came to visit me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was in prison. Okay, so there's going to be reward. Because you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So come and receive the rewards that my Father gives you. So there's going to be rewards. Now, the question is, did you notice that the people that this is a parable, of course, but this is a parable that has very important teaching. The people, did they say, oh yeah, I remember, I gave $10 to that beggar, and I remember I went to visit so and so when they were in the hospital, and I remember, yeah, I remember I went to prison and I did a lot of prison ministry, and you know. Did they say that? What did they say? Did I do that? I don't remember that. Well, you know, they were totally surprised. So there's a German theologian, Helmut Thielicke, not Paul Thielicke. His name is Thielicke. And he says, very interesting. They're very surprised. So they were not doing this to get a reward. They were not doing this, oh, if I do this, I'm gonna live in a big mansion in heaven. If you don't do this, you're gonna live in a taofang. You know, no, it's not. They didn't do it for the reward. They were very, very surprised. They said, Yoba, you know, meo insha. Total surprise. So what about the rewards? Well, Jesus said, well, you forgot about that, but I didn't forget that. I remember that. So they were not doing it for the reward. Why were they doing that? You remember that Friday night when I said, why does God love you? And And I asked that to my students in seminary, and finally, nobody could come up with an answer. And finally, somebody said, "Yin wei ta gao xi." You know, why did these people do this? They were not doing it to get a reward. They did it. Yin wei ta men gao xi. They did it because they enjoyed it. They thought it was good. They agreed. They agreed that this is the good life. Oh boy, I said I don't speak Taiwanese, but in Taiwanese they say ho meow meow. You know, I can't say it. I can't. My pronunciation is ho meow meow. It means the good life. They meow meow. Can you say meow? Okay. It was the good life. They did it just because they enjoyed it. So okay now. So what it is, if the gospel, if you saturate people with the gospel, your kids or the people that you minister to, you saturate with them with the gospel, and they're going to think that, why were the people in the Beatitude, why were they merciful? Why were they peacemakers? Why were they meek? Why were they doing all those things? Not because God was going to reward them. The reward was in doing that. They're blessed. Taman Luan Gao Xing. That blessed means Luan Gao Xing. You know that? blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed means they're really happy. They're really enjoying it. They were doing it because they were enjoying it. So if in the gospel, let me give you my translation of, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but this is Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. Let me put that in a new English translation. That's my translation, okay? Test and approve means you will agree that God's will is good. You agree that it is good and is pleasing. It is 是好的, 是你喜欢的, pleasing. Because your mind is transformed, this is the good life. And you love it. And if you enjoy it, and you wouldn't want to take it away. Okay, now, Paul's going to have a crown in heaven in 2 Timothy. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race, and there is awaiting for me a crown of righteousness in heaven." So Paul's going to have a crown. He's very excited about that. He's looking forward to it. He doesn't say his crown is going to be bigger than yours. He doesn't say, my crown is going to be really big and yours is going to be tiny, tiny. He doesn't say that. It belongs to everybody who longs for the coming of the Lord, and that's every Christian. Everybody's going to have a crown. And that crown isn't a big deal anyhow. If you look at, Paul's going to be very happy. He's going to go have his picture taken at the studio. He's going to wear it for a couple of weeks, but the crowns are pretty heavy, He's going to be very excited. But you know what we're going to do with our crowns? We're all going to have a crown. What are we going to do with them? You look at the book of Revelation, we're going to put them before the throne of Jesus. You don't want to wear a heavy crown for eternity anyhow. Okay, now, let me say one more thing about rewards. There's one passage in the book of John that I just have been fascinated by recently. In the book of John, chapter 4, you remember the Samaritan woman by the well? And Jesus talks to her and he says, "I could give you water, living water." And she thinks, "Oh, that's great. I'm really tired of coming here to get water every day. And, if you drink my water, you'll never thirst." Then he tells her who he is and she goes away. Then the disciples come back. The disciples have gone into the town to buy 便当 And so they come back, and they're going to have Jesus. They give Jesus, you know, and they say, Jesus, aren't you hungry? Don't you want to eat? And surprise, what he says, I have food that you don't know about. I have food to eat. I have food to eat, and that you know nothing about. And that is, he says, he's so happy doing the work of the Father that he said, I'm not even hungry. I just, this is such an enjoyment that that's better than eating to me, okay? But then he says something interesting. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. That, if we can make our brothers and sisters and our kids, that's doing the will of God is better than eating Dairy Queen or cake or whatever you like, the pizza, whatever you, doing the will of God is even better than that. And then, it's very interesting, he says, even now the reaper draws his wages. The reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that, okay, start with verse 35. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows, another reapers is true. Another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you did not work for. Somebody else did all the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. There will be reward. There will be rewards. He said the sower the reaper draws his wages. The reaper draws his wages. There's going to be rewards in heaven. The reaper and the sower rejoice together. They're happy. They're enjoying this together. And others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits. You know what I think? I have this is my suspicion. I'm not sure. I just throw it out to you. I think there's going to be a kind of communism in heaven where we don't think about what's yours and what's mine. Maybe your rewards will be a lot bigger than mine, but we're going to share them all together, and we're going to enjoy them all together. And I'm not going to worry about whether your reward is bigger than mine or mine is bigger than somebody else's. We just put them all into a big pool, and we're going to share them all together. And I think that's another way to think about the rewards. Because, you know, if I worry about your reward is big and my reward is small, then, I lose, the whole point is lost. So, yes, there are rewards. I'm going to have a crown. You're going to have a crown. We're all going to live in a beautiful big mansion. And everybody's going to have rewards. And I'm not going to worry about whose reward is bigger, whose reward is smaller. It's all going to be in a big pool. We're going to share them. I think that as we get that idea, it makes us just being a Christian, serving God, following God, it just becomes a great enjoyment, a great pleasure. A pleasure, and you realize it. You are just more and more sure that this is the good life. If we can help our brothers and sisters with, you know, if someone comes to you and says, someone that you know, have they been going through a hard time? Really hard. They've been struggling. And they say, when I was really depressed and I said a lot of bad things, I lost my temper. I said some stupid things. What does God think about those 2 years? Can you give them an answer? Can you say, all your sins are forgiven? And he's not going to bring it up again. You don't have to be a pastor or any full-time ministry. You don't even have to be a parent. You just have to be a Christian. You can say that. You know, you have an opportunity to share the Word of God, the good news. But just as long as be sure that what you're sharing is good news, not bad news. You know, if we have this passion to share the good news and then we give them bad news. You know, I just think that's so sad. Give people good news. And now, if this is, we don't have anything else to give people but this book. You know, this book. But we need to know how to explain it and interpret it rightly. And the idea of law and gospel are your most important tools to explaining this rightly. So you don't give people bad news with this good book, but you give them good news and you make them see how wonderful it is to know Jesus and believe in Jesus. Then you, the more you do that, the more you know yourself that believing in Jesus is better than anything in life and following Jesus is happier than anything in life. Okay, I want to close with a prayer for you and then we're going to quit, okay? And, you know, I really have been surprised. I didn't like the idea of 100-some people in the class. I didn't like the idea of doing this in English, and I've been surprised. It's been easier than I thought, and I can tell by your faces that you're getting this and you're understanding it. And I think it's going to make a difference in the way you read the Bible and in the way you share God's word with other people. And so I'm very happy about that. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that your final word to us, everyone, your final word is good news. Your last word is the gospel. Just like your final word to Peter was that good news. And, oh, it's always good news. And, Lord, I just thank you so much. I pray for every one of the brothers and sisters here that they will just enjoy, take great pleasure in following you, being your disciple, knowing you better and better day by day, worshiping you, and experiencing your love, your goodness, to them, and that as they serve you in the church and even outside the church, as they communicate with family members, communicate with friends and people that don't know you yet, that they can just make it so clear that knowing Jesus is such a delightful, happy, it's better than anything in life, that they can really experience that themselves, and so as they minister to other people, they feel more and more joy and delight in what they're doing and know that you are smiling with them and smiling at them, smiling on them, and you are taking great pleasure yourself in seeing them as they love to serve you and witness for you and know you better. Thank you for all of this. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Okay.